This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, praise be to Allah. We have reached the 11th night of the month of Ramadan, and subhanAllah, I don't know if it's just myself, but it seems like this year's Ramadan is going really, really quickly. We're almost up to the halfway mark of Ramadan, and we plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we attain the full benefits and the blessings of this month. We know that we are entering the third of the month of Ramadan, which is the third of forgiveness. Every evening, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that every evening or every day in the month of Ramadan, there are people who were destined to go to Jahannam, or they're on the list basically of Jahannam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerates them in this month. That so many people, they are set free, they are tulaqah, they are set free, saved from the fires of Jahannam. And we pray and we plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are saved from the fires of Jahannam, that if we are on that list, then let us be saved and let us be set free by His mercy and His grace. Ameen walhamdulillah. We also now continue with our tafsir of Surah Yasin, and so we were in the second section of the surah, and this section was the story of the people of the town. And we said this unique town where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them two prophets, and then they rejected the messengers, and so Allah fa'azzaznahum, and so Allah assisted them with a third messenger. These messengers were ridiculed and they were abused, and we mentioned some of the false arguments these people made against the Anbiya not to follow them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the story there was a countryman, one from amongst them, that came to speak to these people. So we have a city, you have the Anbiya preaching, you have the community rejecting the Anbiya, and one of the townsmen from far outside of the town, Maja'a min Aqsa al-Madina, from outside of the town, basically the end of the town, he comes running to the city center, and you can imagine him, he's now speaking to a crowd of people. And subhanAllah, Allah mentions more about this man's story than that of the Anbiya. And what this man, this wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this unknown person whose words are immortalized in the Quran until Qiyamah, he really summarizes our theology and our belief very beautifully, and he gives the da'wah in a very beautiful way. And he says, you know, the arguments he makes is simple. He says, if you believe that there is a fatir, we said fatara is more unique than khalaqa. Khalaqa is to create, but to fatara means to originate, meaning from nothing. So he says, if you believe that there is one who created all of this from nothing, and that in the end we will all go back to that same originator, and most people in the world believe in such an entity, then is it not logical that we should only worship him? And that what benefit is it to ask anyone for assistance, to turn to anyone in prayer, in worship, looking for barakah, looking for rizq, looking for protection? What benefit is it to go to any other entity besides this originator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he says that he doesn't mention them, he doesn't curse them, he doesn't abuse them. He says, if I were to do that, if I were to commit shirk, then surely I would have made a clear mistake, and I would be in error. So follow me and follow the Anbiya, these people who are on guidance. And of course, in response, these people, unfortunately, not only did they reject him, but they killed him. And so Allah jumps to the afterlife, and Allah says in a beautiful ayah, وَقِيلَ لِلْخُلِ Jannah, it was said to him, and so into Jannah, he gets Jannah. How amazing and how lucky, how fortunate it is for him that he passed this test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly sent him to Jannah. There's a few verses that are very beautiful in the surah, some of my favorite verses. One of that is where this man says, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي, he says, oh, how I wish, basically he's still feeling regret for his people. He says, how I wish my people could see how Allah has forgiven me and see what Allah has made me amongst the mukramin, meaning could see this Jannah. And it's a beautiful thing to think about. Many of us in the month of Ramadan, we think about those of our loved ones who have passed away, parents, grandparents, may Allah grant all of them a high place in Jannah, may Allah forgive their shortcomings. The month of Ramadan is a month of forgiveness, not just for us, may Allah also forgive them as well. It might be that someone who has died, their names are on a list of punishment, and it's through your dua that they are exonerated and saved. Ameen. So those who passed away, we think about them, and we usually mention in Ramadan how nice it would be with us to be here, maybe around the iftar table, they are missing. But at the same time, a nicer thought would be that they are looking at their Jannah, they are sitting there looking and enjoying themselves, and they are thinking of us and say, ya laytana, how we wish our sons and our daughters, our grandkids can be here with us and see what Allah has prepared for us of a reward, and how we wish they have joined us and they can, you know, leave the world quickly and can join us in Jannah. May we all be together, reunited. One of the great blessings of going to Jannah is that we will not enter Jannah alone, we will enter Jannah together. And so we will appreciate Jannah as families. I mean, may that be the case soon for all of us. Ameen. And so this man dies, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jumps back to the town. So after we've concluded with the death of this wali of Allah, Allah now speaks about the consequences of the town. Allah is not going to leave it like that. That yes, the pious man has gone to Jannah, but now these people have crossed the line. Remember the Anbiya says that you are a people musrifun, that you are crossing a line, and now they've crossed the red line. They've actually killed a believer, and so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take retribution. Allah says, أعوذ بالله الشيطان الرجيم, in verse 28, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. Allah says, and we did not send down upon his people, meaning the man who died, we did not send upon his people after him, meaning after he was killed, any soldiers from the heavens, nor would we have done so. Allah is saying here, as a retribution, as a way to punish these people, there was not a need for Allah to send down one of his soldiers, meaning one of the angels or one of the elite of Allah's creations. Allah says, these people are not worthy even for me to send like special forces against them. Now you imagine maybe one country threatening, you know, a very small, tiny country threatening a big country and says, you know what, send us your special forces, send your most advanced weapons. And then as a response, you know, the strong country saying, it is not even befitting for you to even send our most advanced technology. We don't need to even send you one of our powerful weapons. You are so insignificant, so inferior. All it takes is something very simple to destroy you. So Allah says, for them, they were not even deserving of Allah sending down an angel upon them to destroy them. Some cities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them by sending an angel. For example, the people of Nabi Lut, Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam down, and he lifted their city completely upside down. Allah says, for these people, there was no need for me even to send my angels and my soldiers against them. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. All it took is just one loud scream, one loud shout. فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. Allah says, a single one scream, meaning it is to mention here how easy it was to destroy them. All it took was a single shout, loud scream, فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ, and then they were completely extinguished. So some points of this ayah, the wording Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used. So again, as-sayha, Allah destroyed a number of cities with this cry, with a scream. The people of Thamud were destroyed with a sayha. The people of Nabi Shu'aib, Madian, they were also destroyed with this loud sound that shook their city and even caused earthquakes in it. So it's a massive vibration. It's something which happens suddenly. Without any warning, you hear the scream, and then everyone in that is as if though, you know, they fell down and they died. Allah mentions actually the word here. He doesn't say destroyed. Allah uses the word mukmahun. Mukmahun, very interesting word selection here. And mukmahun is the word you use when you stomp out a fire completely. So there's a fire and you smother it and it dies instantly, and not even a single ember is left. It is completely dead. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how not a single one of them remained after the scream was upon them, of course, besides for the believers. And Allah also uses the analogy of a fire, because a fire is dangerous and it can cause harm to others. So if you remember these people, it wasn't that they disbelieved that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is destroying them. It was now that their disbelief is actually harming the believers, like this fire that is now spreading out of control. As a mercy actually to the rest of creation, they are completely extinguished. Another way is to think of them as a cancer. The cancer harms the rest of the body, and so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a mercy, is extracting them from the creation and removing them completely. So he is ending their harm, and with this one single shout, they were completely fell, and they were extinguished. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And then the next ayah, and again, this is one of my favorite ayahs of the surah, and it shows you really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's desire for us to want to be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he has destroyed this nation, Allah doesn't want us to think that he is one that is looking to destroy or is looking to send anyone to Jahannam. Rather, Allah wants us to succeed, and Allah wants us to take heed and use the blessings he's given us so that we can get to Jannah. So in the next ayah, Allah says, Ya hasratan ala al-ibad. Hasra is actually regret. It is more intense than nadam. The word nadam in Arabic means to be remorseful or regretful. Hasra is even more than that. It's where someone has so much regret that he lost all hope. So Allah says, how regretful for the ibad, how regretful, how sorrowful. And some mufassirin actually mentions Allah himself is saying this. Some say it's the angels, some actually say Allah is saying that, how sorry he feels basically for the ibad, you know, in a manner which befits Allah's majesty. Allah is saying that he feels a sense of regret for the creation, for his ibad, for these slaves. So even though they rejected him, they didn't obey him, they did not worship him, they are still his creation. مَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِرْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Allah says, they did not come to them, meaning any group of people, in the history of mankind, whenever he sends to them a Rasul, a messenger, he is giving them this amazing gift of prophethood, except that they would ridicule and they would mock and they would insult these Anbiya. Allah is giving you this gift, and instead of learning from it or benefiting, you actually turn against the messenger. And so Allah is saying, Ya hasratan al ibad, how regretful it is for the slaves of Allah to do this. And it's a trend that sadly it is that most people follow. And again, we should not think of us ourselves external to these nations that before. It is most likely that history always tends to repeat itself. Even though Allah is talking about nations that came many, many hundreds, thousands of years ago, it could be us, it could be me. We should all consider ourselves in the story. When we listen to the story of the Anbiya, maybe you listen to the story of Nabi Musa and Fir'aun, and who are you in the story? You must be one of the characters. Either you are the Nabi Musa of the story, or you're the Fir'aun of the story. You're those who follow Nabi Musa, or you're those who are following Fir'aun. And so this is the same in this story. Who are we of these people? We hope and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be of the awliya and the successful ones. But remember, it could be that we are of those who do not take Allah's words seriously. We do not take His messenger seriously. And so Allah also mentions here ridicule, because the first step to crossing that line is when we don't take the message seriously. We take it lightly, we are forgetful, and once we start, you know, disrespecting the message and the guidance that Allah has sent us, the next step is to disobey it, and then that's the first step into the progression until, subhanAllah, some even cross that line where they are liable for the punishment in the dunya and in the akhirah. Again, we need to reflect. Like here in Cape Town, not so long ago, Allah sent a drought upon us, and then Allah removed that drought. That drought, certainly, we take a note that these things happen with a reason. So these a message for us. Maybe we have crossed certain lines, we have done something wrong in terms of our relationship with Allah or our relationship with one another. And if we cross those lines, it is for us to reflect and contemplate and to come back and to be humble. Now we have a new pandemic, a new situation upon us. And this is, these are reminders for each of us to fix ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to fix ourselves. Allah then continues with that and He says, يا حسرة العباد ما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون ألم يروا كم أهلكنا قبلهم من القرون أنهم إليهم لا يرجعون. Allah now sends a warning to the Quraysh and to all of us. These people that were destroyed are just one of many. Allah says, ألم يروا, do you not see, كم أهلكنا, how many nations have we destroyed before them in the past? Meaning if you look through history, and subhanAllah, till today we are discovering throughout the world civilizations that just were wiped off the map. We didn't even know they existed. We find their ruins, they're gone. We don't know why they were destroyed, what happened to them. South America, so many nations. Throughout the Middle East, you find so many cities that were completely destroyed, either through floods or a volcano, or even sometimes we don't even know what happened to them. They just disappeared completely. It could be like this, the sayha, the scream, and they were gone. So Allah says, have they not considered how many generations, min al-qurun, generations, Allah is saying, we have destroyed before them, annahum ilayhim la yarji'un, and so they will never ever return, meaning they have become completely extinct. Like we see the dinosaurs, they are gone. Not only is it, you know, to die is one thing, but for the entire species to be wiped out and they will never come back. Allah says, how many nations have there been? And the word, the reason Allah says come, it's obviously a rhetorical question, meaning you cannot count how many. And so it should make us worried that this is the general trend of what happens to civilizations. They receive the reminders and they don't, and they turn away from it, and then they become liable for the punishment. And again, it is not that Allah is saying that He wants to punish. Rather, it is their own doings that they live a certain life and they themselves are falling off a cliff. The Anbiya are trying to save them. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives a beautiful example. He says, I am like a man that is standing in front of a fire, and there are moths and insects rushing into this fire, and I'm coming to block them, trying to save them from the fire, but no matter how hard I try, many of them will dodge me and they will head into the fire. So it isn't that Allah pushed these people in the fire, rather they were already on their way and the messenger was the last, you know, barrier to stop them. But they, of course, ridiculed. They didn't take him seriously. They didn't take the warning seriously. And so, wa'iyadu billah, they fell in that fire. And so Allah says they are completely extinct. They will never ever return. Then Allah reminds us, subhanAllah, how beautifully it flows from one section to the next section. Allah says, وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّ جَمِيعُ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ, that even though there are many, many countless generations that are extinct, some of them that have been destroyed for thousands and thousands of years, their bones have become dust. Allah says, وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّ جَمِيعُ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ, لدينا محضرون. But indeed, surely all of them will be presented before us. They will all come back and they will be presented before us. And of course, this is alluding to the day of judgment, the day of Qiyamah. And that is now introducing the next section where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give ayah to enforce the concept of the Akhirah. So we said one of the things that the Quraysh, of course, maybe did not believe fully in was the concept of an afterlife. And subhanAllah, many people today even, they basically look at this world and they say, there is no life after this life. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, in the next section, give very simple examples to enforce the concept of the afterlife. And the most simple example he gives, just introducing the next section, is Allah gives an example of how we look at a land, and for us here in Cape Town we saw it, it was barren, it was dead. During the drought, nothing was growing, and all of a sudden rain was put upon it, and out of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought life. And so Allah is reminding you, you are seeing a resurrection happening. Something which is completely dead, Allah brings life to it. And so do not be surprised that Allah will do the same with us. And in fact, we will be in the ground. We are buried in the ground. And from it, we will come out. We'll talk about that section, inshallah, tomorrow. So just to summarize, we did the second section of Surah Yasin, which enforces the concepts of prophethood. It enforces the ideas of revelation and the relationship we have with the Anbiya, the warnings, and of course the afterlife. And again, so if you look at the audience, so this is number one. The second section speaks to the Prophet ﷺ. It gives him a comfort that, look, you were not the first to be rejected. In fact, all the messengers were rejected. All of them were ridiculed. This is really the part. This is part and parcel. It comes with the territory. They've already crossed the line, meaning if this is what you want, then Allah can send upon them the adhab. We know that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given the option, especially after he went to Taif and preached to them. Allah gave them the option. If you want, you have the green light now to destroy them. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the option. And many of the Anbiya, before they were destroyed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Anbiya the last choice. You make the decision now. If you feel that these people are beyond fixing, then the punishment is against them. But they are liable for it. Of course, rahmatul alameen, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never ever invoked upon his own people that they be destroyed. And he rather persevered, and, you know, continuously took that hardship upon himself. And never did he make a dua against his own people, even though they disbelieved in him. Then, of course, there's a beautiful message to the sahaba. This is to, you know, imagine Abu Bakr and Bilal, and the, you know, those sahaba that are being oppressed. They are learning that Allah is telling them that, look, it might be that you are going to be killed. It is very possible that your own people might kill you, like this wali in the Quran, but in return Allah is going to give you a great, great reward. Persevere, part of it is that you must struggle, and then in the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to... And then of course the message, the other audience is that of the Quraysh, that they are being warned that they should go and look and see how many nations were destroyed before. And Allah is giving them another example of a nation that was destroyed instantly, just with one sound, and they were gone. And this could very much happen to the Quraysh if they persevere on this. And then, as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move into the next phase of the ayat. The next phase of the surah is talking about evidences that you can look in front of you. Allah now wants to prove these concepts through logic and reasoning. Allah introduced the concept of the resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to them on the words of this wali the concept of a creator. So now Allah is going to show them, look at the natural world for evidences as to Allah being the creator and that there will be a resurrection after this life. And inshallah, that is our third section. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah grant us to follow the guidance, to take the reminders that Allah has sent to us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.